And good evening. Welcome to tonight's edition of Sunday Night Live, broadcasting from an unknown location for tonight's broadcast. Your host, nonetheless, is my friend Mark Meek. Good evening, sir. How are you?
We're all here, regardless of location, right?
That's right. No matter where we are, we're here.
Oh, and so our guest tonight is very used to being at strange locations.
I think we've done a lot of things with Mr. Sparks, haven't we? So
yeah, and he amazes me because I see him on Facebook, and he may be at a baseball game, or he may be in Austin, Texas, or at a youth camp, or wherever, and he's out there doing Facebook stuff. So welcome to the program, Marlon Sparks.
Hey, thank you very much. Good to be here again.
How's the weather in Perryton?
It's cold. It's kind of nice.
Well, nice problem to have. So,
you know, the way they used to forecast the weather was from north to south, and so every morning the radio station would call Dalhart, and Amarillo would call Dalhart and ask them what their weather was like, and then they could forecast what is going to be in Amarillo in about 2 hours.
That's right. Yeah, it's 59 degrees here right now, it says, so it's a fall bite is in the air.
Well, that's cool. I like it.
Yes, it is. Oh, it is lovely. I do too.
What? Jim, what was that you were telling me Sunday night about what our pastor said about the heat and the cold? Was that you telling me that?
I'm not sure.
You were going to hold his feet to the fire.
Oh, well, okay. See, I've got a recording of when he was complaining when it was hot.
Yeah.
And he said, if I ever complain that it's cold, just slap me. And I've got that recording on a button so I can throw it in if he ever complains at church. So.
That's good.
Yeah.
I hope he's forgotten about that, but I've got it handy just in case. Just slap me.
Just slap me if I complain.
So what would we talk about if we didn't have the weather to talk about in the Texas Panhandle?
We
can't talk about how many trees we've got or
that's right,
the beautiful lakes. There are a few, but not very many. And
that's right.
so I guess we might as well get off this subject and just talk about
just weather people. Yeah.
Talk about God for a little bit.
He's a better subject.
Better subject, yeah. And so it's always very interesting to talk about what's going on and what is going on in Perryton right now as far as God is concerned.
You know what? We're just in the midst, right in the middle of just a great move of God right now. I tell you, we have just had some incredible services and new people and the community involvement and interest in the move of God has just been as strong as I've seen it in a while. I think difficult times, you know, perilous times, as the Bible calls them, I know that brings it out of us. We see the country in the shape that it's in right now. We see the government and its upheaval that it's in and all of that. And it's affecting all of us. And I know that as a whole turns man's eyes toward God, or at least towards help outside of himself. And I think that's really what stirs this up. So I know the early church, were to be dispersed all over the world, and they just stayed in Jerusalem. And I know that it was persecution and fear and fear of death, even, that scattered the church to the corners of the earth. So I kind of think maybe that's what we're going through right now. Just a lot of anxiety, a lot of natural fear, and frustrations that are just causing people to say, you know what, we got to we got to turn back to God. We got to turn to Him for help. And I think that's where we are. So that's not a bad thing. That's an awesome thing. And God is always there responding back to us. So thank God for that.
Yeah. So Marlon, I've kind of pondered this a lot, and I really don't have a real answer, but it seems like, and I talked to a lot of people that they really don't think that can happen. They really don't think that we can turn our society around, that we've gone too far, that it's gotten too dark, that we've let the enemy have our media, and we've let the enemy have our politics, and we've let, and so is there hope out there? I mean, it's sometimes an oversimplification almost to say, well, God can do anything.
Right. You know what? I mean, the entire world numerous times has been through the cycle that we're in right now. I mean, and I don't know if it's worse than it's ever been. I mean, I know back in other ages, back in times past, the dark ages and whatnot, things are pretty bleak, and they were dark in the world. I know anything is possible. I know we as people of faith, you know, all things are possible to him that believe. And it's just like I tell, you know, my church about revival and all. I said, there'll be somebody sitting in church that's just depressed and despondent and go, it's about all over. And just, you know, down. And the person right next to them having the greatest revival of their life, personally. So, you know, it's time for every individual person listening to this right now not to get caught up in, you know what Paul said to Timothy. You know, he said, Timothy, know this, and in the last days perilous times shall come. And then he begins to go through all the things that we see every day on the news. Men shall be, you know, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, heady, high-minded, traitors, all these things that he mentions that are so negative. But he also says, and so there is that perilous days crowd that look at that and can be overwhelmed by it. But then there's also the same voice says, in the last day, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So I've got a decision to make. I can be in the perilous times crowd and be sucked in by it and just throw up my hands and quit. Or I can say, whoa. You know what? I'm going to be in the last days crowd that the spirit of God will be poured out upon in the last days. Same last days, two different crowds. One overwhelmed by perilous times, the other overwhelmed by the Spirit of God. So listening to me today, you better make a decision. Said, I'm going to be one who will just give myself totally and completely over to the power of God and allow the Holy Spirit to overtake me and to be poured out upon me and believe for the signs, the wonders, the miracles, the glory, the love of God, the power of God, the grace of God to be manifested in my life and be an extension of the love of God, or I can just participate in the down crowd and just say, well, it's over. Let's just hang on the best we can, you know, hang on to the, you know, grab the rope, tie a knot in it, hang on, you know, hang on as best we can. Well, hanging on gets old. I want us to move on. God wants us to move on and rise up and let the Spirit of God do what he wants to do in the last day. So that's what I've chosen to do and what I'm getting my people to do. And that's my message for today. And this hour is just allow the Holy Spirit to overwhelm me and just say, let's go. I'm running with you.
You know, I flipped over here to Timothy while you were talking, in 2 Timothy 3, starting about at verse 11, it says, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch. And then it goes on. He said, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me.
Boy, look at there, huh?
And then it says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And then it says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived.
Right.
And then verse 4.
Go ahead. No, I was just saying that's the division right there. That's what I was referring to. Exactly what he's talking about right there.
And then the next sentence, he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned. And it goes on then encouraging him, in the Lord.
Right.
And so anytime you see these kind of things, persecutions and evil men and all this stuff, happening, and it seems like they're getting worse and worse, you just stay where you know to stay. That's all you can do.
You're exactly right, man. That is so good. And I was sharing with some people the other day, about, you know, it's a very small word in the Bible and in our lives, but, it carries probably as much power as anything that we do in our lives. And that's the little bitty three letter word, B-U-T, is but, you know, I mean, times are dark, times look bad, persecution's coming, it looks bleak. But, you know, so I would just say that's our place to cry or our place to shout. When you see the word but, it's either right after that you're going to shout or right after that you're going to cry. Because that word changes everything. There's a sentence and then there's a but. And what's about to be said next is going to be the controlling factor in somebody's life. Well, for instance, where he says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Well, I can put a period right there and be devastated for the rest of my life. I must be righteous, oh God, because I'm so afflicted. I know, you know, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And we can moan and cry and testify and mully grub and say, you know, my life is just horrible. I'm just so afflicted. And somebody will say, well, then you're righteous. Well, you know what? He didn't stop talking there. He used the powerful word. He said, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Well, there's shouting time right there. Yeah. So whatever, you know, you could say a positive word, you know, it's a good day, but, and then your life changes because what's about to follow is not going to be good.
Right? Yeah.
It's cool. You have a great day. I would, but this will probably happen. Or there's just people that live on either side of that word. And, you know, Jesus said, in the world, you'll have tribulation, and you can find the tribulating crowd. I mean, they're just Christian people, but my God, look like they've been baptized in vinegar, lemon juice, and they're walking around sad and depressed all the time and hanging on to their cloak of self-righteousness and feeling all down and gloomy. But Jesus, again, wasn't through talking. He said, in the world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. So that's shouting time after that. You know, the people of Israel, the 12 spies, they come out of the land. And 10 of them came and said, well, first of all, this is what's amazing to me about that whole story. They come out of that land of promise after spied out the land. And even the 10 said, it's exactly like God said it was. God told us the truth. Oh, awesome. All the people shout, you know, yay. Well, this is great. Let's go. And they said, wait. But you don't understand. We can't. Why not? Well, there's giants in the land. And people sometimes fail to realize what they said right after that. They said, and we are as grasshoppers in our own sight. That's the first thing they said. Not in the giant's sight. We are as grasshoppers in our own sight. Wow. And And so are we in theirs, which happened not to be true, by the way. When they get into the promised land, they find out that even the giants were afraid of them, because the whole land feared the people of God coming in, because we've heard the exploits of your God. So all of that was going on. And then, you know, I love this, that the Bible says, and then Joshua and Caleb said Caleb had a different spirit within him. This is what God's doing right now today. There's a different spirit coming in the hearts of the believers and in the spirit-filled body of Christ. There's a whole different spirit, because they rose up, and the Bible said they stilled the people. They hushed the guys. Please stop. Everybody just be quiet for a minute. You got to hush and listen. Said, listen, what they said, there are giants in the land, but we are well able, you know, but we are well able to overtake them. Some of them said, the land's like it said it was, God's promises are true, but we can't obtain it. The other guy said, no, God's promises are true, and we can, but we will overtake the land. So you can see the whole different groups there that are divided, and God got glory from those guys. And it's amazing that the Lord later said, well, you know what? The words that these people have spoken have come up into my ears, and they will stay right where they are. But Joshua and Caleb, my servants, will go on, and they'll inherit the land, and they'll go and receive all the benefits that God has for them, because they simply chose to believe the word of God and not let what they saw and heard and was all around them affect them. They overcame. So that's where we are. We're in a place of decision right now as members of the body of Christ. What am I going to do? Where, you know, what side am I going to hook up with? Will I believe God and say, I know it's bad, but God is greater. Sin is rampant, but grace is greater than sin.
Marlon, I had this thought while you were talking, and I was thinking about those children of Israel, and when you put, when you look at a map of that area over there, that's really a pretty small area, that they wandered in. And this thought came to me, but why didn't they just go on over? Why didn't they go ahead even after God, said, you're not going to enter in? Well, you know,
right.
And that answer came to me, and it was because they were afraid. Their fear was holding them in place.
Well, Mark, don't forget that the scripture also says, God said, don't go try to take it. Yeah. I've removed my hand of blessing off of you. If you go over there, they'll kill you.
Yeah,
I mean, that's in the scripture.
I know, but they'd already disregarded God's word once when they didn't go in.
Well, and some of them did go over and die.
And so,
according to the scripture.
Yeah. So there was something holding them, and it had to be fear. And I think that that's what holds us too many times is fear of this and fear of that and fear of the government and fear of our peers and fear. I mean, fear holds us in the place we're in. And I think
it does.
Enemy uses that to hold us in place, hold us in bondage.
Right. Well, you know, fear a lot of times is something that can be seen. You know, of course I'm afraid. Look at that. Aren't you hearing this? And it's something that we can see, you know, and sometimes it is fear of the unknown. I get that. But most of the time it's fear of things that are evident right there. Look at what's being said. Look at the situation in the church today. Look at the situation in the government today. Look at the financial crisis and all these things. So we can see it. And then here we have to come in and challenge it with faith in quote unquote something you can't see, something you have to believe. You know, faith is believing something you cannot see. You're grasping and obtaining and holding, getting a hold of something that you can't see in natural reality. But so fear becomes way more real. I mean, they said, you know, there's the giants. Wow. They're already there. Yeah, but we can overcome them. yeah, but we're already overcome because it's evident. We can see them right there. So it's, yeah. So that's when faith arises and we rise to a new level and say, you know what? I've got to trust God in this thing. I've got to believe that what God is doing right now, what God has done, I'm walking into it. And when I get over there, I know I'll have the victory that he promised me that I would have. And it's a mighty wonderful walk, and a walk of faith, a step of faith, a life of believing what I can't see and perceive with my senses. And that's the excitement of what we do.
Yeah. Well, we've already been made more than conquerors, and
right,
and we just need to we need to get that reality on the inside of us that mm-hmm. our God is greater. You know, there's several scriptures, but there's a song that talks about our God is greater, when I sing that song, that always does something to me on the inside. It just makes me kind of swell up with a little boldness when I start mm-hmm. looking at who he is. And you know, there's a scripture, I think it's in Ephesians, and it talks about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty
mm-hmm.
through
mm-hmm.
God to the tearing down of strongholds. Mm-hmm. And so we're equipped. We've just bought a lie too many times that we're nothing. Nobody pays attention to us. Nobody wants to hear what we've got to say. Nobody, you know, get back over in your little corner of the room and shut your mouth. We don't want to hear you.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Marlon, you know, yeah. I went to a football game the other night, and we did the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had about a minute of silence
mm-hmm.
prayer. And then I went to a board meeting last night for an entity, and they had prayer on the agenda. I thought, well, this is interesting. And so we get there to the prayer time. Everybody just bows their head and nobody says anything.
Yeah, right.
So I was there at that football game, and they were having their moment of silence, and I got mad. I got angry.
That's what I do too. I can't stand those drive me crazy. I can't stand it. Yeah, I was at a officiating a football game a while back, and the announcer said everybody that would like to from both sides, both towns, please gather at the 50-yard line. It's about 15 minutes before game time, and say, we're going to have a prayer circle where we will join hands and have a moment of silence. And so our crew, our referee crew was standing there, and I thought, hey, come on, guys, let's get in there. They won't care. Let's go. So we got there, and we all joined hands in a huge circle. And the leader of this thing, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, she gets out in the middle of the circle, and she says, now, you people heard what was just said on the loudspeaker. Let me tell you something. We don't do that here. We don't do moments of silence. If it bothers you, leave the circle. We're praying. We're praying out loud, and said, we're going to believe God for a move of God upon our lives. And she does this sermon, and my eyes are huge, and she's standing out there in the fullness like I've never seen in my life. And so this, I say, weeks ago, this is actually about a year ago when this happened. When we were back there this year, we did the same thing, and she said, came over to me, and I told her, you know, your testimony blessed me so much when you got out there last year and you just said, we're going to pray out loud and we're not ashamed and we're going to, you know, basically not bow our knee and to Baal. You know, we're just going to exalt God. And she said, you know, since that time, she said, I've received huge promotions. And she said, man, God has exalted me and blessed me and prospered me and set me in this new position in the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I said, Oh, that'll preach. Oh my goodness. She said, that excites me so much. I said, you are the perfect story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You wouldn't bow your knee to Nebuchadnezzar. And they got exalted in that kingdom. And wow, I said, it's just, that's powerful. I said, God has the back of those who refuse to give in and be ashamed of him. And that thrilled me. But I said, no, silent. I said, silent prayers get the same response. They get silent answers.
Silent answer. I was standing there and everybody was, I was looking around, you know. The Bible actually says watch and pray somewhere.
That
this is kind of pushing it, but I was ticked off, and I thought, what good are we doing? We've basically done like the church at Athens, they had the deal for the an altar for the unknown God, and
right.
And basically you're doing the same thing. You're saying, we're going to do a moment of silence. What are we going to acknowledge in prayer? I just got to looking around, and all these people around me, they were just standing there real solemn, just had their heads bowed. And then we started the football game, and those people went nuts. They actually, I had never seen people act like they were acting. They were screaming, jumping up and down, and just screaming at the top of their lungs, and just stand there, jump and sling their arms and scream. And I thought, we had a moment of silent prayer back there. This doesn't add up very good.
It just doesn't add up good at all, does it? No, it does not. It doesn't make sense to our mind. We can't grasp that. My goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so I decided that I was standing there watching all that, and I thought, well, the next thing we'll do is have a silent time looking at the flag while they instead of playing national anthem, they'll just say, we'll just have a moment to look at the flag.
Yeah, it's silence is safer, I guess. Wow. Oh boy.
But you know what, they've effectively they're getting a message across to a generation of people that it's right. Okay to be silent when it comes to God.
Oh yeah, that's the agenda. Yeah, that's what they're wanting to do, because they know, you know, the silence our voice, boy.
Yeah,
that's the cry of the media. That's the cry of you know, this age. If we can keep them quiet, wow. You know, I just thought about, I was preaching a little bit about Paul and Silas Sunday morning in prison. I just said, you know what, guys, this thing isn't done quiet. I said, and they prayed and sang praises unto God. And I know God puts nothing in the Bible by accident when he said, and the prisoners heard them.
Yeah.
And, but greater than that is that God heard them and responded, you know, yeah. Wow.
Yep.
That's kind of where we're at. What shall we say to these things? What's my response to when these things are trying to quiet us and silence our voice and keep us calm and mild? Man, stand up, speak up.
and you know, I hate to bring this up almost, but I'm going to anyway. One of the things that the enemy, I think, is used to work all this into the church is that before it gets too bad, you're going to get raptured. Right. You're not going to have to go through anything. You're not going to have to endure anything. And I think this is a very prevalent in American church.
It is.
You know, we've got the next big event that's going to occur is the rapture. How many times have I heard that preached?
Oh, boy.
And everything has been fulfilled in the scripture except the rebuilding of the temple on the Temple Mount. And that may not happen until after the rapture takes place.
Well, right. Right.
What right. I'm sorry. That's a cop out.
It is a cop out. And you know what? You can see that. And it was dealt with at the ascension of Jesus. The Bible said he gathered there on the Mount of Ascension and said, now, you know, go to Jerusalem. There'll be, you know, wait for the promise of the Spirit, which is going to be given to you, and gives them their assignment. And then he ascends into heaven. And the Bible says while they were there gazing into heaven, you know, because he said, that whole scene, and said two angels had to come and appear and tell the heaven gazers, you know, he said, because I will come back. And I think they were standing there, and he went up, and I thought, okay, nah, he said he's coming back. Okay. They were standing there. I think God had to send two angels to say, what are you doing? Well, he said he'd be back. We're here waiting for him to come back.
Yeah.
He said, no, he told you to go to Jerusalem to wait for the promise of the Spirit that'll be given to you. And now go into Jerusalem, you know, and do what he told you. Now, this is crazy to me. Over 500 people were there listening to that, the Bible said. There were over 500 gathered. How many's in the upper room? 120 people. They said gathered in the upper room. 380 people. What happened to them? They just stayed there gazing.
They're still out there on the hillside somewhere.
They're still out there looking up. Jesus is coming back.
Yeah.
He's coming back. But he said go. So that's so funny, man. That's just like the church. Said we haven't sat there and waited for the promise of the Spirit to baptize us for our assignment because we're so, you know, heavenly minded. You know, waiting and gazing for him to return, you're waiting for the rapture as our way of escape, that we're not doing the work that Jesus called us to do. And that's it, man, that's horrible. That's a terrible indictment against us. You believe he's coming? Of course I do. But you know what? I'm living like he's coming today, but I'm working like he's not coming for, you know, another 1,000 years. That has got to be our mentality. You know, get out and get after like Jesus told us to do. And man, those people received the promise of the Spirit and changed the world. And wow, I think that's where we are. Again, that's the bunch that says, you know, one was looking at the perilous times to come. The other was looking at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that equipped them for service. And we've got to be in that bunch ready for God to pour his Spirit out upon us. So
yeah,
that's where we are. That's so good. Yeah. Oh yeah, I know a lot of those hanging on, you know, just hanging on for Jesus, to come is their way of escape from all the things that are to come upon the earth.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that was good. Yeah, I'm glad you butt that in right there. That is awesome.
Well, sometimes it's better to leave some things alone, but.
Yeah. So you rapture watchers that are out there today, hey, shake that off. You know, live like it's going to happen, but come on. Said we've got some things to do. Our you know, again, our greatest. Of course, they don't believe. I really think they don't believe in the, you know, the new awakening, the another great awakening, and that's, you know, there's some that do and some that don't. Some believe it's over, we're done. We're finished, you know, next thing is tribulation and all of that, but, and not believing that I'm like you, I've talked to people, no, we're done, man, we're toast, it's finished. nothing good is going to come. But that's not so. I think our greatest day is still ahead of us, and those that believe it are going to really be blessed that they and excited that they hung on and believe for this great awakening to happen. Because personally, it's happening in me after, you know, well over 50 years of ministry. It's happening in me, and I some of my greatest revelations, some of my greatest anointings, some of my greatest ministry opportunities have been made available to me in this time. And, you know, where you thought, well, you're getting a little older, it's probably over for you. No, it's just getting turned on for me. I'm just getting wound up. So that's why we got to believe and live.
Well, Marlon, Will, you know, I heard somebody's talking about the Third Great Awakening, and mm-hmm. And they said that the Lord told them that the next generation will be asking us what it was like to be involved in that.
And, right.
And I want to be involved in it. I don't want to be sitting on the sidelines, you know, and then the next generation asked me, well, what was it like? And I'm going, well, I didn't know anything's happening.
See, isn't that something? Yeah. That you can see what you want to see. And you can close your eyes to what you don't want to see. But it's amazing to me. That is so good about the outpouring of God's Spirit that is available to everybody. But there's a part of the 380 that walked away from it, didn't participate in it. And it's something that we have got to become sensitized to, and just absolutely everybody individually, personally, believe in God for that thing to happen in us. You're exactly right. Man, it's just that time.
Marlon, I was thinking about this a couple of days ago, and my thought was, how do you move a whole generation of people worldwide in that direction? And
right.
And I was thinking of it, what do we do as a church to do that? And I thought, that's an impossibility. There's nothing that we can do. We have done all that we know to do. We've had big crusades, we've done this, we've done that, and the world has gotten worse, not better. And the church has been pushed down more and more. And right. So, what can we do? Nothing. And so this is all predicated on what God's doing. And it's predicated on what he's doing in each one of us's heart. So I've got to be open myself to what God's doing. I have to see that. I have to know that. And that change comes in my heart, but it's also happening over here in my neighbor's heart.
Yeah.
And you know, basically, I think what we do, we let people know what God is doing so that they can recognize what's happening in their own heart. And not reject what God's doing there in their heart. I don't think it's something that it's not something that we're going to make happen. It's something we're going to be involved in that is happening.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, the Bob Paul said, now is the time to give heed to the things that we've heard, to not neglect the things that we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. He didn't say reject it. He said neglect it. So what we've done is we've neglected you know, the things that we know to do.
Yeah.
And then say, well, we've rejected a movie. No, we've neglected it. And there's a big difference right there. And just in our apathy and our complacencies, we just said, well, you know, it happened maybe great for them back there, but you know, I'm like you in those, you know, that revival history thing. Man, I used to be such a revival history buff many years ago. I'd read all these revival history books and I would, it would just light my world up, man. I would love reading about, you know, John Wesley and the move of God that happened in his life and all these revivalists and all that were changing entire cities with the power of God. And it was so exciting. And it's like one day the Spirit of the Lord just spoke to me and he said, well, what's a generation to come after you? What are they going to say? Kind of like you. And I go, what do you mean? He said, well, they going to read any of your, any of your history? What's your history going to read? He said, you need to quit being thinking about revival history and start, you know, thinking about the generations to come. What will they look back on your generation and what y'all did? Y'all going to be writing books about what happened? About revival history, you need to be the revival, not study about the revival, but be the revival. And wow. And it just turned me on so much that I thought, you know what? That's exactly right. Well, that was way back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, but nothing happened in the, you know, in the 2000s. No, there's some, the greatest books on revival history have, I believe, have yet to be written, when they're going to read about some things that happened in our day and say, wow, hey, grandpa, what was that revival like? You know, back in 2021. Boy, I heard about that in a bunch of books. And your name's in there. Man, it's pretty exciting. I just start seeing it from a whole different light. And said, man, you know, I tell people all the time, they always talk about, I can't wait to get to heaven so I can run up to the Apostle Paul. Ask him what it was like to be in that, in his day, run up to David and run up to Peter and Paul and all these guys and ask them about their day. I said, that's not going to happen. I said, the Bible says all of those men longed to live in the day that we live in today. They were not able to do it, but their hearts longed to live in this day of the dispensation of grace and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I said, when I get to heaven, I expect them to be coming up to me and say, Marlon, what was it like to live in your day? Wow. Man, tell us about the outpouring of the Spirit in your church and in your city and in your day. Man, we want to hear from you on what that was like. I said, that's what the way we have to live. Well, we've got a story to tell those guys instead of just relying on their history and what happened to them and the moves of God in their life, something to happen where they would be inquiring of us about what it was like in our day. That's a whole different ball game right there, and that's what I'm after.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, listen, there is so much difference between what happened back in the Old Testament. And we read those stories and it, we're kind of awed at some of the things that happened, you know, but you're so right. Those people long, it says about Abraham that he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. And I believe that's personally, I think he was talking about the church, that he longed to see that, not heaven. That I don't think that was talking about heaven, because I don't think he had a lot of he didn't actually go to heaven. He went down to paradise when he died.
Right.
So
yeah, that's exactly right.
So I think they were talking about the days of the church when they said that. They were looking forward to what Jesus was going to do on this earth when he came. Unfortunately, too many, just like the people of Israel, expect something out of Jesus that he really didn't have anything to do with.
Yeah, that's true. I think we were talking the other day about why why is it that people aren't seeing what others see and all? And I know that a life lived in the Holy Spirit. I know that a life of a spirit-filled person is so powerful, because it's like, even when we like are praying in the Spirit, it's as though God will always elevate us to see further than where we are right now. We're never stuck, you know, in a religious rut where we are, but we're seeing some things maybe at times that others can't see. And we're preaching this great awakening, the third great awakening. Well, I'm preaching it. I'm believing. I'm pushing it, and I'm wanting people to see what I see. But I know that there is people that are committed to a life of the Word and a life of prayer and a life in the Spirit. It's like, again, where we're heavenly minded, where Paul was speaking again and said, "Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him." And we put a period right there. And there's that word fixing to pop up again, B-U-T. See, we think, well, that's heaven. Oh, heaven. It's a great place. Our eyes haven't seen it. Our ears even haven't heard about the things that God prepared for those that love him. But he's not talking about heaven. And we use that in all kinds of funerals. We use it in all kinds. We're talking about death, the people dying. He's not even referring to heaven. He said, but he has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. There are things prepared for those of us that love him right here, right now, and he's revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So, well, what's blocking us from seeing those things? Well, I say many times it's the mountains in our way. It's the trouble. It's the situations of the world that we're looking at. It's become a mountain to us, blocking us from seeing what God's going to do. But by his Spirit, I believe he has raised us up together and made us sit together with him in heavenly places. And what that does is give us a complete different perspective where we're able to see on the other side of our mountains. And boy, if God ever takes you up above your mountain, you can see what's on the other side, and he'll bring you back down. But you've got a vision of what's on the other side of your mountain. You know what's going to happen to your mountain? You will move it. People will. If you see what's on the other side, if you can see, I just say it this way, if you can see what's on the other side of your mountain and not be stopped by your mountain, you say, "I will not be denied what's on the other side of that mountain. I have seen it." Yeah, but that mountain's blocking the way. Oh, no, that mountain's got to go, because faith, that Jesus said, faith will move that mountain, and it will move, because yeah. I'm going to obtain what's on the other side of that mountain. And you know, we've seen that. You know, Martin Luther King said, "I have been to the mountaintop. I've seen the other side." Right? Yeah. I mean, that's the cry, you know, the cry of his civil rights movement. I've seen something bigger than where we are right now, people. Come on, rise up with me. Any persecution, they took any persecution, any abuse, they took, because he'd seen something bigger than where they were in that civil rights movement. And he said, we're going into that promised land. I've seen the other side. I've seen the promised land. And that's the attitude we have to have in not just those civil rights things per se, but the things of the Spirit. That, my God, I've seen greater miracles to come. I've seen a greater outpouring to come. I've seen our sons and daughters prophesying our, you know, visions and dreams and the move of God and his Spirit and entire cities coming to Jesus. And we've seen things like that in the Spirit, but there's so many obstacles blocking us to get to that place that we just become complacent and say, well, forget it. There's no way this is ever going to change. Said, no, when it's really in us, we have that vision, we've seen it by the Spirit, then there is nothing, no obstacle, no persecution, no abuse, no ridicule, or anything is going to, no religion is going to stop us from moving that mountain of obstacle that's in our way to get to that promise that we've seen by the Spirit. And man, that's the move of God. Said, no, I've seen it. I've had a vision of Jesus. I've had a vision of a move of God. I have a vision of my kids worshiping Jesus. I had a vision of my grandkids loving the Lord and their generation. No, and that's where we're headed, and that's what we're believing for, and we will not be denied from that because he has revealed those things unto us by his Spirit. So that's where we are. It's my story. I'm sticking with it. Hallelujah.
Marlon, that's one of the best ways I've ever heard. If you'll say to your mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea and shall not doubt in your heart. But mm-hmm. while you were talking, I just realized that that's really what a mountain is. It obstructs view all the time.
That's exactly right.
And so instead of it being a, you know, we always try to put some kind of obstacle out there in front of us and call it our mountain. But really, all it is an obstruction of vision. Man, that blesses me. I see that.
Obstructed our vision. Yeah, my years ago, a couple of my uncles and aunts and their families had moved to Oregon, and my granddad, a panhandle farmer out here at Perryton for a jillion years, we were going up there and we were going to take a vacation, all of a bunch of us, and go up and visit them. So he's a farmer out here in east of Perryton, Clarence Peterson, man. There's no land in this world flatter than his farmland. We go up to Oregon and we're coming back home, and he's kind of quiet sitting over there on the passenger side, and I'm driving. And I said, well, Grandpa, we had quite a trip. He kind of nodded his head, didn't say much. I said, you're kind of quiet. And he kind of nodded his head and grinned. I said, well, it's a great trip. What'd you think about all that scenery? He said, I don't know. I couldn't see it for all the trees and mountains. So I said, that's a panhandle man right there. He said, this scenery is when you can see as far as you can see, and it's beautiful, man. So that's us. Now, the scenery, sometimes the scenery, we call it scenery, but it's nothing more than something that's blocking our vision. There's an obstacle that we can't see.
There's something out there, but the trees are in the way. So while you were talking, I kept thinking about that song that I used to be a Cub Scout kind of off and on. And we always sang this song called "The Bear Went Over the Mountain to See What He Could See."
That's what a pioneer did, isn't it? A pioneer just, you know, there were settlers that would stop and settle where they were because they didn't want to ford the next hill and form a, you know, a settlement. And that's what the church has done. We've had an obstacle in our way, and we just settled where we were because we didn't know what was on the other side of that mountain, and we were too afraid to go over. So we'd formed this group here as settlers, and then there's a pioneer spirit that says, you know what? Guys, what do you think? Man, there's got to be something great on the other side of that mountain. I've heard there's been explorers that have been on the other side of that mountain, and they came back with this report. What do you think, guys? Is it worth the risk? And there are pioneers with a pioneer spirit that said, yeah, it's worth the risk. Let's forge that mountain. Let's go over to the other side of that mountain and see if what they said was true. And that's where we are, man. The Holy Ghost has said, there's something on the other side of your mountain. Don't you settle where you're at. You know, don't you stop. You rise up and don't let your own family, your own individual life, your own family, your own church be a settlement. You have a pioneer spirit that's pressing on to what's on the other side of that mountain. And I believe when we do that and get there, man, we're going to be glad we're believing what we're believing. Amen. We're gonna believe that, boy, the best is yet to come, and it may be some treacherous terrain and some obstacles along the way. But every price, quote unquote, that we pay to persevere and to pursue, we're gonna be glad we did. Generations to come.
Marlon, I'm self-employed, and so's Jim, and we're sitting here listening to you talk, and here the thought that keeps coming to my mind. you know, I'm willing to do what I need to do to reap the reward of a harvest.
Sure. And
you know, the obstacles can be pretty overwhelming sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I farm and ranch, and this summer all my equipment has broken down. I actually don't have a tractor that runs right at the moment. Thankfully today, probably, but I still am striving to get that done.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I'm actually in pretty good shape right now to, when I get a rain to get my crop sown, and I've got my hay on the ground and I'm ready to bale. My tractor should be ready to go today. But okay. But there's been some stress in there. There's been mm-hmm. there's been some times when I had to fight discouragement and being disheartened by it all. And too many times when we get into spiritual things and things get a little stressful around us, and we're too willing to throw in the towel and just say, throw up our hands and say, well, I hope the rapture happens tomorrow because I'm not going to make it otherwise.
That's right. Yeah. There's the heaven gazers.
Yeah.
Why stand you here gazing? Get out of here and do something.
But there's a spirit. I think that people that do these things, there's a spirit of overcoming. We overcome these obstacles. We know we can. We've seen the mountain that these things are, and we're going to get through this. We're going to figure this out.
Yep.
And it's the same way with the Word of God and what the Scriptures say and what Jesus did on that cross and how the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us and quickens us. And that we've got to see that picture. We've got to see on that other side of the mountain.
Oh boy. So that's beautiful. Absolutely right. Yeah, there's something there that's amazing.
Yep.
Something there. We're going to be glad we stayed with it. We're going to be glad we pressed on and pioneered and pressed our way through because it's, wow, it's powerful.
Yep. Well, we're about out of time, Marlon.
Oh, wow. We got on the roll here, didn't we?
Yeah.
We did it again.
Yeah. Are we out, Jim?
You're right. We're down to the last minute. So.
Last minute.
Wow.
Hey, Marlon, thanks for being on with us. Wow. I feel I've got energy now. I'm ready to go.
I think we've been preached to, Mark.
I think
we've been encouraged. So.
Yeah, we have.
Well,
ready to go move that mountain and get busy.
Yeah, get a little vision out there.
That's right. Nothing wrong with that, man.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. Well, good evening, Marlon, and good night to all of our listeners. We'll be back next week with another program.
Thank you very much, Marlon, and we'll see everyone next week.